Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Tana Oli Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hits från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. As are our advertisers. Remember, that's how we keep the lights on around here, so support them if you can or if you're interested in. Usually on most people who advertise online, they'll ask, how'd you hear about us? Or what? There'll be a little space. And just put in Pop Rocks Radio, Jamie Rock, the guy with the hair who talks to rock stars. They'll know who it is. All that does is, unfortunately, won't save you any money most times. Sometimes it does. But it just lets them know where to keep sending checks to, what's working for them. And eventually, part of those checks will trickle down to me and my wife's high heel collection. She likes her shoes. What can I say? Anyway, and I like having a happy wife because, yeah. Anyway, those who are married will understand. Oh, man, I'm telling you, life's just much easier when she's happy. Anyhow, I'm super excited tonight, folks. We've got a fantastic guest on, just a superb, superb musician. He's a lot of fun. He's zany. He's wacky. No, it's a little bit, but
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I am too, because it's very cool. Mr. Dan Sindel. Hopefully I'm saying that right, Dan?
Yes, sir. Sindel rhymes with hell. Taco Bell, if I fail. Oh, yeah. How you doing, everybody? Thank you for having me on the show. It's an honor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you're out in L.A. Hopefully, it's not too terribly hot out there. Yeah, I haven't really seen. Yeah, I used to live in San Diego, so I know it's weird. Southern California, it's been so long since I've lived there. It doesn't seem it, but it has been that the weather has, the patterns have changed. When I was there, it was pleasant year-round. You'd get maybe a week where it'd get crazy, and everybody would realize we have no air conditioning in our condo or whatever, and they needed it, or they thought they did. But now, as I understand it, it's crazier weather out there now, the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, things are definitely changing. I wouldn't say for the better.
No,
global,
I agree.
Global warming, whatever you might want to call it, geoengineering and other delicious conspiracy theories can be had, but I will not delve into any of that. Thank you very much. But yeah, summers have become increasingly longer and much hotter, droughts, having to back off on water, all that good stuff.
Crazy. It's crazy. It's going to wind up like, it's so weird. Like when you go, I don't know if people realize this, but if you go to Vegas, like I lived in Las Vegas too for a minute, and it's weird to see yards with no, at least in San Diego, they had ice plant along the freeway. You know what I mean? It wasn't just gravel rock, sculptures of lizards. That's what you get in Vegas. But at least there's that ice plant there. So you see greenery. I got to tell you, Dan, I don't know if you've ever, that drive back to Southern California, I guess on a 15 from Vegas, I always thought of old westerns I had seen. I would go over a hill, and I don't know what it was called. It was before you got to Bakersfield, but you drove over this kind of hill thing.
Oh, the grapevine?
Yeah, maybe. It was all the
on
green.
The sign.
No, it wasn't on a sign. It was you were up on a hill, and then you, as you peaked the hill, you saw beautiful California with all the farmland and green and moisture. And it was, I'm like, can you imagine like 100 years ago, they were coming across here in like covered wagons and they topped that same hill and they must have went, I thought I was in hell forever. Here we go. The light at the end of the tunnel. It's okay. I've never been seen anywhere like that since. It's amazing. I love California. I love California. But it's been a minute since I've lived there.
It sounds like a song. I love LA.
Exactly. Like I said, I got out of school. I went to school in Boston. And I got out of school. And I told myself, I said, I need to live the exact opposite of Boston. I'm tired of these winters. I'm tired of snow. And I looked at a map. And San Diego looked pretty good. So I moved to San Diego. And San Diego's great. It's very beautiful. Do not send me emails, everybody. I understand. I'm not putting, as my wife would say, I'm not throwing shade at San Diego.
For a hey, San Diego rocks. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's just a little dull. I was up in L.A. every other weekend just because it was a little more.
Oh, it's a whole different universe than Los Angeles. But the weather is so much nicer. The pace of the town is so much slower. Yeah. Get me out of L.A., baby. This place is a rat race.
I'm telling you, it never ends. The weird part about California and L.A. is you have to, it'll wear you out in the fact that everybody you meet, all of your friends, are doing something. And something cool, usually. So you can't sit around and go, eh, I'm just going to not do, just ride along. I'm not going to do much of anything because you won't have any friends because everybody else is doing shit. And so you're forced, in a way, to be creative, to think outside the box, and to make things happen. And that is lacking on the East. I don't see it that much on the East Coast.
I've never been to the East Coast. It's one thing that I have not yet done in all my years, which is really amazingly stupid. I just have never.
No, I think that's brilliant.
I've never been to New York. I've never been to Boston or any place.
Yeah, the East Coast, it's just, every place has its ups and downs, its pros and cons. The East Coast is very aggressive. It's a good, you'll be at the grocery store, and you'll be looking at something, jar of pickles, whatever, doesn't matter. But somebody will reach over your shoulder and pick up what you're looking for in right in front of you. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I grew up in Detroit, and that's a good way to get into a problem in Detroit, disrespecting somebody like that. But that's just commonplace. Everybody's very self-centered on the East Coast. And that's just the way it is. But the West Coast has its, people say, people are flaky. Yeah, to an extent, I can see it. But I don't know. It's every place has their ups and downs. Every place has their ups and downs if you look for them. But sure. One of the great things about California, like I said, it's a creative hub, man. People are doing stuff, and they're creatively doing things. For an artist such as yourself, that's where you need to be. Look at what you're doing. Yeah, people have bands and make music and stuff like this. Not only does Dan do that, folks, and do it very well.
Chaps, man.
There you go. Same time my wife uses it. I recognize the colors. Anyhow.
We should have a commercial timeout break for Caramex. Thank you.
Yes,
sponsored by. Yeah, everyone out here.
If Caramex wants to send a check, that's fantastic.
Oh, well, they're busy, and I'll tell you what, trying to put a band together is like pulling teeth out here. Yeah. Everyone I know is in about 7 different rigs. They're overbooked. They got no time for nothing. And I call them and say, hey, man, I don't have enough time. So I'm trying to get my act together, too, and go out and play concerts. But I'm just like stuck. Hopefully things will change soon. I was born to rock, and I'm not doing exactly what I should be doing. It's a tough one. But you know what? I am very grateful to be on your network. I'm taking care of other things besides not playing live. I recently partnered with Curtain Call Records. That's why we're talking. They're helping me with press, promotion, getting on the radio. I'm working on the back end, and hopefully there'll be a vortex, a communion, if you will, where when I'm ready to perform, the vehicle will have been built in certain markets, hopefully you know about me, and there will be energy.
Absolutely. Curtain Call has their shit together. Yep, we're good. I just looked at, I have a little timer up here for the 3 minute.
The Those 3 minute been warning. The
show know what I'm talking about. Everybody else Hammer comes down, no man.
Clue. Hammer has just come down.
That's right. No, we're safe from it. That's
Ban the Hammer. The AI robots are angry.
I know. We try to keep them happy. We try to keep them happy. No, Curtain Call's great. It's my day job. My straight job is I'm a painter. I paint portraits of stuff and whatnot. And cool. I can't tell you the number of times, and I do a lot of nightclub paintings, and somebody's opening a new club. They want art and stuff for it. And I'll be talking to somebody doing a deal on that. And we're shooting the shit, whatnot. And they find out I'm in South Florida and they're like, hey, do you know Curtain Call? Cause we book a lot of bands through them. I'm like, yeah, Brian and the gang over there. I know them all. They're fantastic. And it's weird. Mm. And that just didn't happen once. It's happened several times. And so what that tells me, and I'm not in the music business, but what it tells me is they are, and they're known. You know what I mean? Like people.
Nice.
So that's a good thing. So
shout out to Brian. Shout out to John.
Yeah, they're making it happen, man.
Shout out to Sean McKenna, if you know him. He's the one who actually referred me to these fellers.
Nice.
Shout outs.
I'm telling you. It's very cool. One of the things I really like are your videos. You make these fantastic animation. As I understand it, no, correct me if I'm wrong, you do the animation, right? And that ain't
yes,
easy
sir.
To do. That's
no,
fantastic.
It's not. Yes, I do, and no, it's not. I've been doing animation ever since I was a little kid. I took a class when I was 11 years old through a person who, I don't know, probably worked for Disney at that point in time. And we had a little summer class on cell animation. And it's just one of those things that stuck with me. And you know, computers now can do a lot of heavy lifting for you, but I still love the process of drawing maybe 24 actual sketches of cartoon artwork, each one moving just a little bit further than the next. Then you scan them in, so you have a sequence, just like the old Disney flip books. And right. Yeah, you can put them into software if you're hip to Adobe software. Let's see, you start with Illustrator, then you can bring it into After Effects and just go haywire with all of the transitions and things that you can do. Yeah, it's insane, but I'm still pretty much a purist. I love animation. So, you know, I kind of figured for my first videos, instead of just being that goofball standing there with a guitar like you've seen 7 million times, I don't know. I didn't really want to do that, so I thought I would just create some mystique and hide behind my robots and strange universes for a while.
And it works. It's unique, and it's eye-catching, and it's just something. When you get to be my age, you search out the new. It's, oh, I've seen this 87 times before. Whoop-de-doo. But your stuff is new and fresh, and I like that.
Oh, check out. I'm going to leave the camera for 2 seconds.
Okay.
Sorry.
He's had enough, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. We're on the subject. And I just thought show and tell. Here's some of my crazy sketches.
Check that out.
So you got some mysterious things happening here. And you get down the road a little bit. The monster looms in. Starts jabbing and poking at their eyeballs, and they're being crushed to death. And the monster is more than happy to kick some ass. I'll do one last one for you here. Ah, here you go. Here's the last part of the sequence.
Nice. I think
what number is it? This is sketch number 17, I think, or so.
Nice.
But, you know, once I get it into the software, then I can draw blood and stuff.
Yeah. And it's so important. And there's a whole thing now of, and I think a lot of it's really cool, of digital painting. people, I know people that had the little pad with the little computer pencil, paintbrush, whatever you need it to be, and they draw on that. And when I hear old people sometimes grumble, yeah, exactly like that. Exactly
tablet.
Like that. How cool is that? And they're like, wow, it's different than using, well, so what? So what? You know what's great? Everybody's complaining about AI right now. Use AI. And they're saying, a lot of people are surprised. They're like, what do you mean? And I said, because a client will come to me and say, I want a blonde-haired Viking shield maiden by a stream with a dragons flying over and she's half in shadow.
Right.
And I'm okay, yeah, I could sketch that out and paint it. And it's a whole process. And then they're like, oh, could you make her? I wanted her a little different looking and whatnot.
Yeah, and I got it.
Want to pull my hair out at that point. The thing is, with AI, I can go to, and I don't know the name of the site. My wife, I have it bookmarked here. She found it for me.
I don't even want to know, man.
She found it for me, and I put in there. I said, okay, I want a shield maiden next to a stream with it, and describe the whole thing. And it pops out one. And I send it to the client. I said something like this. And they're like, yeah, can you change it a little bit this way? And I said, absolutely. Let's get this all figured out before a paintbrush ever touches a canvas. Because that saves a lot of time.
So you're using it at least to conceptualize. And then you do the real work. But, okay. Exactly. In that
That's
respect, I'm okay with that.
But it doesn't. My finished painting will not look anything like the AI because I just want the client's thumbs up. I don't care about heavy detail in it or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. That is okay. Delivering a final all done by a computer leaves the human element out of it. And that's what everybody is angry about and why Hollywood was protesting over the past year or two, because that kind of stuff is taking over jobs, and we're in for a lot of trouble over the next few years. AI is going to really start taking a lot of people's jobs away from them, and people with master's degrees and diplomas and tenure are going to be out of luck, out of work, and wondering what to do with their lives.
And there, you're right. And right now we're okay with it because all the AI stuff looks like shit. You know what I mean? It all looks plastic and fake and shrink-wrapped.
Hey, but can AI look like that? Come on, kids. How would you like to wear that on a t-shirt, huh?
Talk to me, baby. There you go. Merch is a big part of our business. There's certain things I paint that I can't put on merch. People are like, why don't you put your Marilyn Monroe paintings on? I'm like, because I'm not buying the rights to that. That's way expensive. I said, but a gal disarming a time bomb, yeah, I can license the shit out of that and put that on beach towels if you want. Not a problem. But it's a weird thing. But AI, it will get better. That's the scary part. And the thing is, I don't like the aspect where it's using other people's work to generate its work.
Oh, yeah. Sampling with music.
It's the same kind of thing. It's really, and people will argue, a good sample, they're changing that. Well, that's great. The bottom line, if you're going to be a musician, in my opinion, and I know I sound like an old man, get you an acoustic guitar and at least sit down and come up with the melody or your riffs or something. You know what I mean? There has to be a human element in it. Otherwise it shows, it becomes obvious. I've never heard a song that was all AI generated or something and not known it was AI generated. You know what I mean? I'm like, it's not, there's no passion there. There's no passion in it. But a lot of the arguments I hear, too, I remember reading about the same arguments when photography came along. All the painters were like, people can just take a picture now. Yeah. And that means you got to work harder. Your painting better not look like a picture or it's going to get lost in the shuffle.
It's pretty cool. Interesting. I don't know if you saw the video for my new release, Freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to play it here.
The Green Woman. The theme of that song is embedded in science fiction that we grew up with, The Matrix and The Terminator and Blade Runner and George Orwell, 1984, throwing a little bit of Queensryche, Operation Mindcrime. It really has to do with the machines taking over. Are we prepared for that when it happens? And there's a bit of a fulcrum point of someone who might have grown up before cell phones and YouTube and now AI. This stuff is really relatively new. YouTube hasn't Absolutely. Been around more than maybe 15, 20 years at the most. When I grew up in high school, cell phones didn't exist.
My dad had one in the car, but it had a cord.
They look like walkie-talkies. But when I was growing up in high school, a cell phone like this, the only thing was on Star Trek with Captain Kirk.
Yep.
And yep, Scotty, they had these things, which was predicting the future, which is pretty trippy for 1960, 1970, predicting 30, 40 years what is now so commonplace. And, you know, what they put in movies now as far as sci-fi, commonplace, the futuristic, that looks almost impossible. Is it really that impossible? Give it 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Who knows what's going to be happening? It's trippy. Will we be able to be beamed up to another planet? If so, get me the hell off planet Earth.
At least beam me to Canada. I'm kidding. I'm not saying that. Anyhow,
I'll try Canada.
I like Canada. No, but you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The weird thing when I think about it is airplanes and stuff. 1903, the Wright brothers had the first powered glider. Mm. 66 years later, they're walking out of the lunar lander on the moon. That was 66 years we went from the glider to landing on the moon. Or if people are like, I don't believe in the moon land. Okay, the space shuttle. How about that? 76 years. That's pretty impressive. And now, international travel, yeah, it's a pain in the ass. But if Dan wants to go to Tokyo, he can go over to the airport, jump on a plane, and 14 hours later, he's in Tokyo. That used to take a couple months to do that.
Hey.
It was involved.
Tokyo, man. I'll meet you there tomorrow at 9 p.m. and we'll go get some sushi, man.
People do that. We're talking like it's nothing. You know what I mean? We're in the same room. That is an amazing accomplishment. It is, and it's happened fast. You're absolutely right, Dan. I remember I used to own a gallery in San Diego.
Not to interrupt you, but just to dovetail on what you're just saying. What we're doing here, talking to each other with a multi-screen Zoom, was in the science fiction movies in the 40s and 50s.
Yes, it absolutely was.
And earlier, I just saw a film on Amazon. They have an archive of really old black and white films. I found one from 1936. I cannot remember the name of the movie, but it was a very advanced science fiction movie that showed everything we're talking about now and more. And that was from 1936. Incredible.
It's amazing. I was having dinner at my in-laws the other day, and my mother-in-law is sitting there, and we're eating, I don't know, some sort of Italian dish. That's her specialty, and I'm not complaining. I love it. She does very well with that. But as we're talking, her watch went off because she got an email, and she's got one of them those smart watches, and it went off, and I thought to myself, I'm sitting here with Dick Tracy. Remember his watch in the comics? He had the little TV
thing. Yeah.
It's and we're living it.
Him and both Rogers. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You kids today, you probably think we're just old dinosaurs, but just wait. One day you're going to wake up and realize how the world has changed around you. And then you're going to say, you know what? James and Dan were right. I was laughing at them back then, those old bastards.
Oh, it's true. And time, all the old people, I remember growing up, all the old people would say, don't waste your time because it goes quickly. And the other day I had a guest on, we were talking, and they were talking about COVID when all the shutdowns happened. And I'm like, wow, you know, that when I'm thinking to myself, man, that was, what, a year and a half ago? No, that was like 5 years ago. Is that weird?
Yeah.
Half a decade has passed?
2020.
Yeah. 2025 now. It's crazy.
Yeah. It is crazy. I was teaching guitar at the college. I got a couple local gigs teaching guitar, and it was May. Let me see, January, February, March. It was March. It was March of 2020, and it was about 7 o'clock at night. I'll never forget. All of a sudden, all the emergency police, sheriff, broadcast lights were flashing across the campus, and a siren was blaring. And police cars were going up and down the rows where all the classes were, and they were evacuating the college and telling us to basically run for our lives, thinking that there's some biochemical warfare and we're all going to die. This is shortly after the movie. Remember the movie Contagion? This is just
I'm telling you.
A year after Contagion comes out. What the? Oh, my God. We're all going to die.
Dan and I are of the age that we grew up with the very real threat of nuclear war happening at any moment. At the same time, they said, oh, you're teenagers, you like girls, here's the sexual apocalypse. If you smooch a girl, you could die. Have fun with that. And we, our generation, when all that happened, I was like, I didn't know what was going on. I was like, what are the missiles flying? I thought the missiles, they finally did it. I was wrong, thank God. But it's weird. It's weird living under that and being aware of it. And it's today, and I don't want to get into politics or anything. People are like, the other day, Israel hit Iran, and I got nervous. And we had some friends over. I was in the back part of the house, and I come out, and I'm like, everybody's, what's going on? And I said, Israel just hit Iran. And everybody's, settle down, Jamie. That's the other side of the world and everything. And I said, Israel's got nukes, folks. Don't you see what? I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying there's a potential for this to escalate. And the younger people just didn't understand. They didn't have any frame of reference.
Well, not to mention, our enemies have people living here, living a very quiet, peaceful life. In yourtown.com, you wouldn't know who they are, but they could get a text at any time of the day from their fearless leader and blow your town up.
Guess everybody just skipped that part of the Black Widow movie. That could absolutely. Oh, man. Anyhow, the cool thing about it is we have good art to get us through. Let's all bring our blood pressure down. And you know what? Let's watch a video. Should we watch? We have. You tell me, Dan. We've got ambition and freedom. Freedom's the one you were talking about with the green alien. Should we play that one first, or should we play ambition first?
Why don't we go for ambition? That's a little bit more lighthearted. That's about being a kid, having wild, crazy dreams. For me, it was being a famous rock star, as stupid as it is. When you're a kid, you want to be a fireman or the president or something cool, or a rock star. I opted for being a rock star. And you know what? I'm a lot older now, but damn it, it gets me out of bed every morning. I love music.
Absolutely.
No matter what, I don't care about fame or fortune or any of that, but I do love playing music, and I love even more having people as an artist appreciate what I create. And I know you feel the same way. We create for ourselves, whether it's in the oil paint medium or the music tapestry or whatever you create. It's what you want people to groove on it.
Very true. That's the theme of that song.
So yeah, Roll Ambition. It's a 50s rock and roll kind of a vibe with modern rock guitar.
Yeah, it's very punchy. I like this one. Here it is, everybody. This is Dan Sandell, Ambition. Check it out. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. That was Ambition, Dan Sandell. Man, what a great video. That's right.
Yeah.
That's a cool... Let me ask you, though, because as I understand it, animation is involved. It takes a minute to do it, even with the assistance of programs and whatnot. Is it a long... You finish the track, and you're like, I need a video for this so I can help get it out. How long does it take to knock out one of your animated videos?
Oh,
is it
man.
A long process?
It's a. It takes so long, it's enough to make you think you're going crazy and why am I bothering doing it? Animation is probably one of the most tedious processes. It is so time-consuming with so little reward. You really have to truly love what you're doing. But thankfully, throughout my past 5-10 years, I have a pretty decent archive of a lot of drawings and little sketches and little maybe 10, 20-second clips of just trying things out. So a lot of this stuff was already sitting there just waiting for a video. So it was up to me to 45 different ideas and see if I could make them into a cohesive type of a, like movies. You got to make the cuts seem correct.
Absolutely.
And then if some of the scenes are good, then I've got to figure out a way sometimes to add 20 or 30 or 40 seconds to the actual animation. So I go back and as a prop, I draw 40 or 50 more of these things, whatever I'm doing, I scan them in. And oh my God, it's a very, very time consuming process. But you know what? We do what we do because we love it, not for any other reason.
And any youngsters out there, anybody new to whatever type of art they're doing, understand Dan knows what he's doing. He has learned this works, this doesn't, and he's got this bell curve of knowledge. And this, I know it's a drag when people like me or your art teachers or music teachers or whatever, why they drum it into you to practice. It's so you know how to do things. You're not having to figure out everything each time. You're like, oh yeah, that works if I do it this way, or that works, that doesn't work if I do it this way. Very good information to have. So yeah, everybody, I think what it is, Dan, is everybody watches these shows like The Voice or these competition shows. They have them for everything. They tried to get me to be on one of the painting ones and I turned it down, but that's a whole nother show. But the thing is, people want the shortcut, and sometimes there is no shortcut. You just have to do it. You have to play the guitar. Nobody just rolls out of bed and it's Randy Rhoads. Randy Rhoads had to practice to get to the point. He started at some point and got to the point where he became him or anybody. It doesn't matter. It's not just Randy Rhoads, but anybody doing anything. And I have found in life that doesn't matter what you're doing. If you do it a lot, you get better at it.
Yeah, well, say there are anomalies. Every so often, there are these wonder kids that just show up. They're not born from this planet.
They hail from a whole different intergalactic region.
And they maybe pick up a guitar at 6 years old, and they're basically better than any dude that has been playing 30 years, hands down. What are you like in gymnastics? You have little 6-9-year-old kids who are in the world event. They're at the Olympics, shooting for the gold and the silver for their country. Now, granted, most of them were probably born in a test tube. And by 3 weeks, they were already being fed
how-to
videos, intravenously.
The norm is you win the lottery to buy a lottery ticket, and then you have to win it again. You know what I mean? You have to just keep at it. It's terrible. But you learn. The rewards are fantastic. I don't do it with every painting, but every so often I'll throw a little flex. I'm sure, Dan, you do this too with your music. Every so often, you'll throw a little flourish in there. Just as my wife, I don't know, she started telling me this. She goes, oh, you're flexing on that one. And I'm like, yeah, maybe a little bit. I admit it. But you have to, just to keep it fun for yourself. But yeah, every musician I know, they don't do it constantly because then you're just showing off. You know what I mean? You're like, okay, Beethoven, we get it. You're good.
What you're talking about, you can keep that, but you could make it less evident to stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, you got
to
do it in style.
But if you put things into context of music, for me, if you put on headphones and listen to my new record, They Only Love You When You're Winning, which, by the way, kids, you can go buy it. It's Bandcamp.
Links down below.
Hey, that was a cheap Shameless plug, Bandcamp, baby. I didn't even want to put my music on Bandcamp. You know why? Because of what? 10 years ago, there was the movie American Pie and that girl. Do you remember that last time I was at Bandcamp?
Yeah.
Bandcamp? Oh, no, I don't want that. But I realized that particular website offers people like me independent music. Probably
it's a good
the
site.
Most fair, they offer a musician the most fair chance to earn a little bit of money based on a purchase where they don't take the majority of it. They give an artist, a band, a good portion back of the purchase. And I thought, okay, Bandcamp jokes and all, I'll go for it. So there you go, kids. Bandcamp, find my music.
Find some headphones.
Listen to my music. And what you were talking about is if you put on the headphones for real, or if you have really good earbuds, you'll be able to hear old school production like the old Beatles and Pink Floyd. It's very subtle, but things pop in and out of your ears at various times. It creates atmosphere. You don't get that so much like when you listen to AC/DC. They're pretty straight on. The guitars are in place. You don't have a lot of, but if you go back to Jimi Hendrix, you had things flying around because people were doing a lot of acid back then.
And producers, I think the production side of it, hot mic and drum kits and stuff and guitars and everything, you know what I mean? And it's weird if you go back and watch these old producers talk about, I was watching, what's the song? It was famous, the famous Saturday Night Live skit, I Need More Cowbell. I was watching a thing about that particular track.
Don't Fear the Reaper?
Yeah, Don't Fear the Reaper. Yeah, with the original producer of that is what the video I was watching. And he was talking, so we had 27 mics in the room, and they're keeping track of all that on a board. And so they could do things. And you're absolutely right. You'll hear old timers like me and Dan will say, oh, yeah, when you listen to that on vinyl, totally different than when you listen to it on Spotify. Because it's been compressed, it's been cleaned up. It's different. It's a different way of recording than they used to do. Hendrix, same way. Same way. And it's interesting because you'll see bands go, I really want my guitars to sound like Hendrix's sounded. That's going to be money because you have to set up a studio for that. You know what I mean?
You can do a lot so much anymore. It just depends. Man, I could debunk that a little bit. If you want to sound like Hendrix, well, maybe first start with a Strat. That could help you in the right direction. Choose an amp tone that's a little cleaner and punchier than a hardcore, grindcore metal sound. And put some flanger and delay on it. That's simple. You can cheat.
Pedals.
Yeah. Put some wah-wah.
Let me ask you this, as a musician, are you one of those guys that have a box of pedals and stuff, or do you do it mostly through apps and stuff now?
Apps? No, when I record, everything that I could ever want and need is inside the computer. If I want delay or chorus or reverb, it's all there. But for playing live, I'm still old-fashioned. I love a tube amp, and I like my pedals. But the things have changed now, and you can scale down and not have to lug so much stuff into a club. You can condense everything down to a small, very small foot pedal that has all the sounds and amplifiers built in for you, like a Kemper or a Fractal or the Line 6 Helix, quad core. There's a lot of different companies now. There's a lot of ways to skin the cat where you don't have to bring in 500 pounds of equipment.
And which is a plus, especially if you're playing a gig and there's four other bands playing that night. You know what I mean? They don't want to be tripping over your shit all night. You got to move that stuff back.
Oh, man. Well, in the old days, I mean, they would throw you off the stage within 7 minutes, and you need 25 minutes to correctly pack everything up. So your shit just gets tossed off stage by some asshole working for the other band. Or,
right. Definitely. We're all good.
Hey. Sorry, I said a bad word.
No, you're fine. Hey, let's play Freedom now. I think it's a very apropos track, and I think people are going to dig this. It is. You want to play it and then talk about it? You want to talk about it and then play it?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it before. It has a little bit of a sci-fi theme to it. Lyrically, you can draw any conclusion you want to it if it makes you happy. And
I like
bottom line, I hope you dig the tune. What more can you ask? Roll the tape.
Absolutely. Right. Everybody, this is Dan Sindel. This is Freedom. Thank you. Zebra. And that's where we'll put the Freedom video. Very cool, Dan. I'm having a lot of fun.
When I was in high school, that is right when people, it costs a lot of money. It was close to $5,000. But right about 1977, 78, that's where people were starting to bring home their own personal IBM computers. The revolution was happening right about then.
Yeah. I had a Commodore 64, and you get those magazines, Byte Magazine with a Y.
Yeah.
And you'd have to take a playing card, and they'd give you 12 pages of numbers, machine numbers, to type in. And you better not screw one up, because it wouldn't work then. But you type it all in, and you could play Hangman. You're like, oh, I spent 3 weeks typing this in, and now I get to play. I could have done this with a pad of paper and a pencil, but it wasn't on the screen.
Yeah,
I remember those days.
You were doing advanced programming, machine language. I remember
But now you can't do any of that shit. You learn all that shit, and then it's out of date.
I'll tell you a story since we're talking about this. In that period of time where I was talking about with computers, it was probably about 78, 79. A kid about 3 years younger than me named Daniel. And he was one of them, and he had a couple outboard MIDI racks and a synth keyboard. And he knew at 15 years old, like in 78, how to program MIDI language and the computers and make them talk. We were just, what the hell? Dude, you're going to one day launch rockets at JPL. You're a genius. But here's what's cool. About 4 years later, I caught up with him or so. I caught up with him about 5 years ago through Facebook. And I looked at some of the stuff he was doing. I thought, dude, you have lived a life. He went on to get internship here in L.A. at the major recording studios at the Record Plant and Village Recorder. And he worked his way up working on sessions with David Bowie and Rolling Stones and Ozzy and Madonna. I mean, you name the artist, he probably was in the room setting up the mics, working his way up to working on the mixing console until he was a first call on-demand remix artist. He's done remixes for U2, Michael Hutchins of NXS, Bowie, Black Sabbath. It's crazy. So I got the courage up. I've known him forever, but I got the courage up and I asked him 8 months ago or so if he would be interested in mixing some of my music, because I still had half of the songs I recorded from my first EP from the can not finished. And he listened to them and said, oh shit, these are good. So he's the one that helped me mix and co-produce my new album. That's why Ambition sounds so kick-ass, because he put his magic on it. Yeah, it's pretty neat, man.
That's cool.
That level, at least having people believe in me enough.
Yeah, absolutely. It's any kind of artist. I don't care if you're baking bread. I don't care what kind of stuff you're doing. Dan said it before, if somebody's interested in they're digging what you're doing, that is what we crave. You know what I mean? That is why Mick Jagger, at however old he is, what, 80 or something, he's going out on stage. That's why he does it. He doesn't need the money. He's got plenty of money, I'm sure. But 50,000 people saying, yeah, you're okay. We like what you're doing. That's a pretty good feeling. In my world, it's great. Somebody sends me a check. They want to buy a painting. Great. That's fantastic. That makes me feel, that brightens my whole day. But you know what else does? When somebody says, I wish I could afford it, but I really like that painting you did. Mm-hmm. I walk around with my nose in the air for the rest of the day, chest out. That just puts a spring in my step. It isn't about the money. It's just about the connection that you can form with somebody. Music is, I'm a music guy. I've never had the ability to do music. There you go, the Carmex. But it is such a cool thing.
Hey, because hold on. Music, Carmex, buy it today at CVS and all your local stores.
That's right. That's the Rockstar chapstick, ladies and gentlemen. 4 out of 5 rock stars recommend Carmex.
Not to mention, 4 out of 5 rock stars prefer Dr. Duck's Axe Wax.
There you go.
Pure commercials.
That's right. That's right. We're a consumerism show. I haven't seen Axe Wax in a long time.
Don't you?
There you go. It's awesome. And folks, I forgot to mention, we have clickable links all down in the description here. And when you find a band or a musician you really dig, share him. Let your friends know about him or her, about them. Because the reason you're friends with people is you guys all have common interests. You like the same stuff. Chances are people are going to, if you like something, they're going to dig what you like if you're friends with them. And it's very cool. I suggest also, we've got all of Dan's social media links. I love looking at Dan's posts. They're funny. They come up. I enjoy it. I get sick of all this negative doom scrolling and naysaying and all that. I don't got time for that. Dan doesn't have that. It's a nice break from it.
Yes, come visit my house. It's just nothing but laughter and fun.
Absolutely.
And pizza.
Last question, Dan. Speaking of pizza, got to get your opinion on it. Now, you're a California rock star. I get it. What is your thought on pineapple on pizza? Yay or nay?
It is not my first choice, but I actually don't mind the Hawaiian pizza. It used to be a big craze like 20, 30 years ago. All of a sudden, everywhere you look, everyone was walking in with a Hawaiian pie. Pineapple, Canadian bacon. I'm not opposed to it. But if I was going to order up, it would be double pepperoni with jalapenos with extra sauce. Cook that bad boy. Well done, man.
Right. Get that cheese caramelized. I agree with Dan.
Telling you, thick or thin, that's a whole other topic for another day. But I love Chicago thick, but I also really love New York thin if it's done correct. I want pizza.
Absolutely.
See what you did? I got to go buy a pizza.
I'm telling you, I've got a taste for it myself now. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight, but we're going to have Dan back. I can tell you right now, he's all turned up to 10, and I just really have a good time hanging out with him. And that's a little behind-the-scenes thing, folks. If you see a guest on my show appear a bunch of times, that means I like hanging out with them, and they're fun.
Two thumbs up. Absolutely. I approve of this message. I do.
Folks, like I said, all the links are below. Like and share, and thanks for tuning in. I always forget, and I'm making it a point. I hate these YouTube videos. Hate's a strong word. I dislike these YouTube videos where the first thing they do is tell you to like and subscribe to their channel or whatever. But if you dug the video, throw a like on there. It helps the algorithm. If you want to see the next one, subscribe. It's up to you. I don't care. Believe me, our strength's on our audio side anyway, so I shouldn't say that, but
I have something to say. This is Dan Sindel on the Jamie Rocks Pops Radio Talk Show Hour. Go ahead and hit the like, hit the subscribe, and hit that bell to be notified.
There you go.
That's the kind of nonsense you have to put up with these days. Hit that bell. What bell? I don't see
it. Hit the bell. And then sometimes they'll say, and then go on your phone to your set. I'm like, geez, Louise, are you kidding me?
Hey, don't forget my Patreon and drop me some of your numbers. That's right. I'll give you this and I'll give you that. And if you don't do that, I'll give you more. But make sure you hit that bell and you subscribe.
And oh, it's so true.
Jansen Bell signing off on the Jamie Rocks Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show Hour.
We'll see you next time, folks.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks' Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hannah Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.